From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, Christ, the End of the Law. Our text, Romans 10, verse 4, states that Christ is the end, or the aim of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Dr. Cairns has shown that the aim of the law of God is to stir up men to seek Christ. In his humanity, Christ kept the law perfectly. Furthermore, in his death, Christ satisfied the law's penalty for believers. Because of that, God imputes Christ's righteousness to everyone who believes in him. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in the Epistle to Philemon and verse 2. The church in thy house. Is there a church in this house? Are parents, children, friends, servants, all members of it? Or are some still unconverted? Let us pause here and let the question go round. Am I a member of the church in this house? How would father's heart leap for joy, and mother's eyes fill with holy tears, if from the eldest to the youngest all were saved? Let us pray for this great mercy until the Lord shall grant it to us. Probably it had been the dearest object of Philemon's desires to have all his household saved, but it was not at first granted to him in its fullness. He had a wicked servant, Onesimus, who, having wronged him, ran away from his service. His master's prayers followed him, and at last, as God would have it, Onesimus was led to hear Paul preach. His heart was touched, and he returned to Philemon not only to be a faithful servant, but a brother beloved, adding another member to the church in Philemon's house. Is there an unconverted servant or child absent this morning? Make special supplication that such may, on their return to home, gladden all hearts with good news of what grace has done. Is there one present? Let him partake in the same earnest entreaty. If there be such a church in our house, let us order it well, and let all act as in the sight of God. Let us move in the common affairs of life with studied holiness, diligence, kindness, and integrity. More is expected of a church than of an ordinary household. Family worship must, in such a case, be more devout and hearty. Internal love must be more warm and unbroken, and external conduct must be more sanctified and Christ-like. We need not fear that the smallness of our number will put us out of the list of churches, for the Holy Spirit has here enrolled a family church in the inspired book of remembrance. As a church, let us now draw nigh to the great head of the one church universal, and let us beseech him to give us grace to shine before men to the glory of his name.
Thank you.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast. LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Jesus died an atoning death. And in that atoning death, he drank the cup of God's wrath against sin. I pointed out this morning at the communion table that in Gethsemane there was a cup the Savior did not want to drink. I'm not going to digress to the various explanations of the cup in that place, but obviously there was a cup he did not want to drink. But concerning the cup that he drank on Calvary, he said in John 18 verse 11, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" What was that cup? It was the cup of the wrath of God against our sin. To put that in slightly different words, he suffered the full penalty of God's law against sin. Galatians 3:13 says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. I want you to get the picture. These are words that are so well worn that we let them slip right over our head. The Lord Jesus Christ took the cup of God's wrath that you and I should drain in hell forever. And he drank it dry. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the curse of the broken law. He took the penalty of the law which we had broken. The penalty that should have found us, found him in our place. He bore the curse of God's law. And that's an important verse because it tells us thus the law was satisfied. Notice this very carefully, that in Christ both the precept and the penalty of the law were satisfied. Jesus kept its precept, and yet he paid its penalty. And thus he is set forth in God's word as Jesus Christ the righteous one. Jesus Christ the righteous one. And that's why we can say finally that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to every believer. I have taken the time tonight to establish from Scripture that Christ kept the law in his life, that Christ satisfied the law in his death, that thereby the Lord Jesus Christ presented to God a perfect righteousness, which the law of God accepts as such and finds no fault therein. It's important because, listen, that is the only case in the history of the world of a man fulfilling God's law and presenting to God an absolutely perfect righteousness which the law of God accepts. It's the only case. From Adam till the end of the age, there is not one other comes within a billion miles of fulfilling God's law, but Jesus did it perfectly. And that is the only righteousness that will get us to heaven. If we have that righteousness, we'll be saved. If we do not have that righteousness, we will not be saved. God fulfills the great purpose of the law in making us legally righteous by imputing to us, by placing to our account, the righteousness of Christ through faith. Now we get into a host of scriptures, and I will bite my tongue and take a deep breath here, because if I were simply to ignore the clock, then we'd be here for a long time, because this is not only the great theme of the New Testament, the great theme of the Bible, but it happens to be my favorite theme in Scripture. And any preacher that doesn't preach it is not preaching the gospel. And any preacher who preaches it can never get enough time to preach it more. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Christ is made unto us righteousness. I've already referred to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let me give you a little excerpt from Scottish theology. One of the great Scottish theologians, man who has written, in my view, perhaps the best book of its kind on the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the late Hugh Martin. And in his book on the atonement, he deals with this verse, and he talks about, don't be put off by the theologically sounding language, he talks about counter imputation. Think of it. All our sin imputed to Christ. All the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. That is the gospel. This is a legal transaction. The Lord Jesus Christ did not morally become corrupt. There was no moral change in his character when God made him to be sin for us. This is a legal thing. God laying all the legal liability of our sins upon the Lord Jesus, in order that he, having paid the full price, would confer upon us all the legal merits of his righteousness, so that all that we deserved was laid on Jesus, and all that Jesus deserved is laid on his believing people. That is the gospel. What a glorious gospel it is. That's why Jeremiah said, this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That was the great title that we sang in that hymn tonight, that Dr. Gingery reminded us, summed up the testimony of the saintly Robert Murray McSheehan. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The gospel is that Jesus Christ confers a righteousness upon his people that is absolutely perfect, lacking nothing. Nothing. So that the law of God is satisfied. And instead of being a clamorous witness for the prosecution and our destruction, it is now a witness for our salvation. The law of God is satisfied. Can we not therefore say with Isaiah 61 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord? You know, if you can't rejoice in justification, I really don't know if you're saved. Now that may sound a little extreme, but I honestly doubt the state of any man's soul if he doesn't rejoice in justification. When I think of the things that people get into to try and make them feel good and to work up what they think is spiritual joy, it's crazy the way people try to work up emotions just to feel good. Listen, if you had come to understand the gospel, if you'd come to understand that all my demerit was placed on Jesus and all his positive merit is placed on me, you rejoice all right. My sins are gone. Where are they? They're washed away in the blood of Calvary. My unrighteousness is covered forever. With what? With the absolute perfection of the righteousness of Christ. So we can say with Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As I say, this is the gospel. As we close tonight, let me invite you to read with me Romans 5, verse 19 through 21. This is Paul's great summation of the message. Romans 5, verse 19. As by one man's disobedience many were made, and the word has the idea of constituted, I think I wouldn't be adding to the meaning of the text if I were to say were legally constituted. So as by one man's disobedience many were legally constituted sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made or legally constituted righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Remember what we have seen already. The law exposes sin. The law always makes you understand how great your sin is. But here's one of the great statements of the Bible and its gospel. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Let's stop for a moment. Where did sin abound? You don't need to go to the ends of the earth. You just need to look in your own heart. That's where sin abounded. But where sin abounded, grace superabounded. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. You notice that? How does grace reign as a king in your heart? Through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to me very clearly. There is no saving grace apart from perfect righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life. And it's in this way that the end of the law is Christ for righteousness to every believer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.